In just 65 seconds, Drew Pearson's exclusive comments will be brought to you by Lee, who form more self hats and hat bodies than any other hat manufacturer in the world. Mr. Pearson's voice will come to you today, not from the nation's capital in Washington, as is usual on these Sundays, but from a great state's heart in Atlanta. Mr. Pearson speaks to you today from the steps of the state capitol in Atlanta, Georgia. It is fitting, it is symbolic of our great democracy, that Mr. Pearson addresses you in the presence of Ellis Arnall, governor of Georgia, who is with him on the steps. More than simple courtesy is expressed by the governor's presence. It is eloquent with respect for the free air that we breathe in America. It embraces all that is implicit in the word democracy. Mr. Pearson has attacked the Ku Klux Klan. Members of the Klan have challenged Drew Pearson to appear in Georgia, have actually threatened his life should he appear within the state. Drew Pearson has accepted the Klan's challenge. He is armed only with the power of his words. The governor of Georgia, no referee, simply has placed his state squarely where its fine citizens want it to be. That is, in America's corner. Now Lee Hats for Men bring you Governor Arnall and Drew Pearson speaking to you direct from the steps of the state capitol in Atlanta.
I welcome to Georgia Drew Pearson, a valiant crusader for truth, tolerance, and goodwill among men. The state of Georgia has recently instituted suit against the Ku Klux Klan. This legal action has for its purpose the revocation of the charter of the Hooded Order. Attorney General Eugene Cook and Assistant Attorney General Daniel Duke are prosecuting the case. There is no place in Georgia, there is no place in America for hate organizations. We must have an America free from fear, free from bigotry, free from prejudice, and free from hate. Drew Pearson's fight against the Klan is a fight against the spirit of intolerance which it symbolizes. We must supplant hatred with love, intolerance with tolerance, ignorance with education, to the end that all men may be protected in their inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We must know that nowhere in this entire world can some men be free until everywhere all men are free. The fight for freedom must first be won in the mind and the heart of men. I present Drew Pearson.
Thank you, Governor Arnall, for your most gracious introduction, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming here this afternoon despite this rain. Friends and members of the Ku Klux Klan, I stand on the steps of a capital of a great state. Through the courtesy of one of the greatest governors of the United States, by the valiant defenders of Atlanta. Generals John Bell Hood, Joseph E. Johnson, and the brave men in the Confederate Army who defended this ground did not do so from behind masked hoods. They fought in the open. General Joseph Wheeler rode with his magnificent cavalry in the daytime in the full uniform under the stars and bars, as did every Southern soldier. And because they did, the whole country proudly acclaims them. They had the courage to differ, but the chivalry to champion those differences, not behind cowardly sheep, but in the full light of day. Now, I have received threatening letters challenging my right to come to Atlanta and calling me a northern carpetbagger. There is no American today who is not ashamed of the carpetbaggers. But a carpetbagger is not despised by history because his home was in the North, but because of the crimes he committed against the South in the South. And his worst crime was forcibly ruling helpless people for his own ends. The old clan of Reconstruction days may have been necessary to combat the carpetbaggers. But today, with our duly elected government everywhere in the South and in Georgia, even one recently elected with the help of the Klan. Despite this, the Klan has reversed its role of Reconstruction days and has now become the modern carpetbaggers. They would seek to be a state behind the state, to control by force the due process of law. I repeat, the 20th century carpetbagger is the Ku Klux Klan. Elections in the state of Georgia are your problem, and the elections in the state of Maryland are my problem. But hatred in any state is a national problem. 23 years ago, in a beer hall in Munich, there was planted the germ of a diseased idea, a germ of hate. At first, people laughed at it. The planter of that germ was considered a clown, a buffoon. People ignored him. They said he was too crazy ever to get anywhere. At first, only the Jews were affected. Other people didn't worry. But later, it was the Catholics, then the Protestants, until all over Europe and the world, it was torn asunder. We are still suffering because we did not stamp out the poison of Adolf Hitler before it spread. He was our problem, but for too long, we ignored him. So Ku Klux Klanism and all the other isms which preach hate are not merely the business of the South, they are the business of the nation. And as with Hitler, the time to stamp them out is now. This happens to be a subject on which I feel most deeply. I belong to a religious faith which long was persecuted. I am a Quaker, a name of derision, given our forebears because they supposedly quaked before the English king. 264 years ago, as the Quakers came to this country, an earlier settler, Cotton Mather, who, like the Klan, believed in burning witches, wrote a letter to a friend in which he said, "There is now at sea a ship called the Welcome, which has on board 100 more of the heretics and malignants called Quakers, with W. Penn, who is the chief scamp, at the head of them. The General Court," he continued, "has accordingly given secret orders to the master of the brig Porpoise to waylay the said Welcome slyly and make capture of the said Penn and his ungodly crew, so that the Lord may be glorified and not mocked on the soil of this new country with the heathen worship of these people." Thus spoke Cotton Mather, who, when it came to intolerance, was the imperial wizard of his day. However, the Quakers landed in Pennsylvania, the Catholics in Maryland, the Puritans in New England, and also there came many different races, the Negroes, through no fault of their own, the Germans of the Midwest, the Spanish of the Southwest, the Italians of New York, the Irish almost everywhere. And we built up one great nation of every race and creed, the freest, most successful melting pot the world has ever known, one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But in the world's great melting pot, race cannot stand against race, minority against minority. It may be fashionable to denounce minorities, but minorities made America. Just across the street from this Capitol where we stand is a small memorial to the valor of a Catholic priest, Father O'Reilly. He belonged to a minority now persecuted by the Klan, yet during the invasion of Atlanta, he saved four churches of other denominations from destruction. During a war, men learn to hate a common enemy. But when war is over, they cannot always cast off a habit of hating overnight. So with the enemy removed, they fall to hating each other, especially weaker minorities. That is what happened after the last war. Formed in Georgia, the Ku Klux Klan sent its messengers of hate to every corner of the land, rolling up 9 million members. Until in 5 years, they had collected the stupendous total of $90 million, the price paid for by many naive well-intentioned but misguided people for lessons in bigotry. Today, the same invisible empire of bigotry, terror, and hate is beginning to take root in the uncertainty of post-war America. Here are some of the latest developments. Traveler number 297, Atlanta. Grand Cyclops Sam Roper has informed Klansmen that Governor-elect Gene Talmadge will reinstate him as head of the Bureau of Investigation. According to the Grand Cyclops, Talmadge has promised. According to the Grand Cyclops, Talmadge has promised that all race problems will be left to the Klan. Chattanooga, Glenn Kliegel, J.B. Stoner recently signed a pledge urging that the Jewish race be lawfully exterminated. Now, my friends, civilization will ask the people of the South some bitter questions if once again bigotry and terror go on the rampage. The men who spread this terror are a libel in the fair names of Stonewall Jackson, Louis Beauregard, and William Hardee, who, if they were alive today, would be riding in full uniform to stop these cowardly masqueraders. Can anyone imagine a true descendant of Jeb Stuart charging a lonely Negro farmhouse at night? There is no blacker mark against the Klan than that they seek to convert the august mantle of Robert E. Lee into a nightshirt. Many defenseless people will suffer because of the Klan, but those who have the most to lose are the Klansmen themselves. For they must live with themselves, with their own hate, their own cruelty. Men consumed by hatred are not happy men. Jesus Christ, giving an example of neighborliness, told how the good Samaritan picked up the man who had fallen among thieves, bound up his wounds, mounted him on his steed, and took him to an inn. Men who betray his teaching, who betray his cross, by flogging innocent victims under its shadow, can reap only unhappiness wherever they may go. They have to live with themselves. As long as books are written and men read them, the Klan, like Hitler, will be condemned for its doctrine of hate. On Stone Mountain, the Klan talked of lynching other men. When Christ spoke on a mountain, he spoke of loving other men. History reveres men of goodwill, but history will ridicule and despise the fiery crosses on Stone Mountain because the fiery cross breaks faith with the cross on Calvary.
Men have just brought you Governor Arnall of the state of Georgia and Drew Pearson, speaking direct from the steps of the state capitol in Atlanta, Georgia. This is Tiny Ruffner back in New York, speaking for Lee, makers of the famous Lee waterblock hat for men. Now here is a very special announcement. For the next 6 weeks, during which time Mr. Pearson will cover the peace conference on the spot in Paris, Mr. Pearson's place on this program will be taken by a series of outstanding Americans. It promises to be most interesting, and there will be a different luminary, a great personality, each week. As an instance, next Sunday, we will hear Harold L. Ickes, former Secretary of the Interior.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.